What was the best part of your day?
The best part of my day was honestly waking up.
I like this. Oh, I felt the spirit. That was.
I'm being honest. The best part of my day was waking up and getting off work.
Oh, when you said waking up, I swear I felt like Shondo. I felt that when you said waking up, like. What's up, folks? Welcome to another episode of the Glass House Podcast. I'm Matthew.
And I'm Nalisha.
Welcome into the Glass House Podcast. Nalisha is not going to start laughing today, which means that I am not going to continuously laugh over and over again. I look so ghetto. Look at the little headphone just hanging off my ear. So anyways, folks, welcome into another episode of the Glass House Podcast. We're excited that you are here joining us for this episode. I don't know where we ended off at. I don't remember the last episode we recorded. Last episode we recorded was about they broke up with me. We talked about like breaking up, not like like cheating and stuff, right? Is that what you're talking about?
It was. Okay. It was trauma, like cheating trauma.
Oh, I see how you fancy that up. Cheating trauma. That's what I should have named it when I posted it. Cheating trauma. Anyways, so this episode, we're going to talk about something that I think is applicable to not just our private lives, but in the workplace. So if you know anyone who is a young professional, someone who is entering the workforce, I think that this episode could help them. Nalisha and myself are both young managers. So I think we have a little bit of leverage from lessons learned that we could possibly share about this area that we're going to be discussing today. But before we do so, do us a favor really quickly. Number one, first of all, I want you to blow Keenan up on Instagram and tell him that you miss him on this episode. He had a family emergency, so we are praying for him and we hope that his family and him are doing well. So we're going to miss him on this episode. But while you're listening to it and you don't hear his voice, I want you to go on Instagram and send him a message and be like, yo,
we love you, Keenan.
Yeah, tell him you love him too. And tell him you love his wife too. Yeah, so you got to, you know, they come together. You love him and his wife.
Him, the wife, the daughter, all of them.
And the dog, you know, they got a dog too named Royal. Only Keenan would name his dog Royal.
Yeah, Royal. He had two dogs.
He got rid of the other one like I got rid of mine. All right, let's keep going. So sometimes them dogs look too much now. But seriously, guys, we are so excited that you guys are joining us for this episode. But before we get started on today's episode, Nalisha, how has your day been?
My day, well, at work, stressful.
Just period.
For the rest of the day? Okay, half and half. I'll give it half and half.
What was the best part of your day?
The best part of my day was honestly waking up.
I like this. Oh, I felt the spirit. That was.
I'm being honest. The best part of my day was waking up and getting off work.
Oh, when you said waking up, I swear I felt like Shondo. I felt that when you said waking up. Anyways, that's what's up. Mine's been it's been pretty good. You know, busy keeps me productive. I feel like busy keeps you out of trouble, but also. Like, I just enjoy the busyness of it all, like putting out fires and just being busy. I think it's pretty productive. So it's been a well thought out day. So that's good. We got to talk about your relationship after this episode. So,
glory be to God. There is no relationship to talk about. I'm single, y'all.
Are you single and mangling or are you single and sitting? Which one is it?
I'm single. And if it come my way and I like what comes my way, then boom.
Biggest lesson you learned from your last previous relationship?
That's a really good question because this was the first relationship that I've ever had that it was a mutual breakup and it was actually ended on good terms. So I think I've learned a lot from previous relationships before that. But I would say, honestly, just put my happiness first.
Yeah.
And make sure that I'm actually genuinely happy within the relationship. It wasn't him per se, but like, make sure that, you know, I'm standing on what I want in a relationship.
That's big, though. I think like what you just said was like you're standing on what you want. Sometimes I think we compromise what we want for what we think we need because what we think we need is available. The lesson that I think I've learned in relationships is just because they're near doesn't mean they're needed. And a lot of times we don't really see the difference of that because we're so focused on altering our desires based upon their decisions. And we can't do that, right? Like, we want what we want. Like, I tell people, get what you want from the beginning.
If I'm being honest, you know, like, I would honestly say that I don't. Okay, so I live in Savannah. Y'all probably know this now. You know, Keenan and Matthew are from Savannah. But no offense to the guys in Savannah. I just, the ones that I've met, I don't really, you know, want to date them. So all of my, majority of my relationships have been long distance.
It's like in Savannah, the hoary is in the water. Whew. See how I made that word up? The hoary is in the water.
You better preach.
The hoary is just, we be drinking from the water. Like,
y'all be drinking it down to the tea. Nothing left in the glass.
It's in the water. Like, I don't know why. The water just bad. You know, it's that Tybee Island. That water get in the sink and the faucet. And it's just all in the water in Savannah. So let's just credit
y'all
it to that.
Y'all so bold with it, too. So bold.
Now, what you saying? Now, you going a little too far.
So bold. Y'all will listen. The girl will be right there. As soon as she turned that back, hey, you trying to let me take you out? Huh? No.
Nah, I don't know what you're talking about.
I
have nothing to do with it. Let's go ahead and clear that up. I have no idea what Nalisha's talking about. I want to make that abundantly clear. I have no idea what Nalisha's talking about. My season, I was a good Christian saint, and I did none of the things that Nalisha is describing. Anyways, so.
Shall we go back to one of the episodes in the podcast, shall we?
Let's get into the day's episode, folks. Today, we're going to be talking about dealing with criticism. Just go ahead and take you a deep breath if you're listening. Take a deep breath.
I know we got to take one.
Just take a deep breath. Dealing with criticism. Handling criticism is a difficult but necessary part of our private and our professional lives. In the workplace, you will frequently have to hear and digest criticism from a supervisor, a manager, or even our coworkers. To use their criticism to improve, we all need to know how to listen, understand, and apply their suggestions without being offended. In life, you will hear and digest criticism from your family and your friends. Taking constructive criticism from others is required to get to the next level. I'm gonna say that again. Taking constructive criticism from others is required to get you to the next level. There is only one way to avoid criticism. That's do nothing, say nothing, and be nothing. So, since we're on the topic of constructive criticism, before we digest all that, the difference between workplace criticism, professional criticism, personal criticism, let's just talk about what criticism isn't. How about that? Can we just start there? What criticism is not?
Yeah, because criticism is definitely not opinionated, and people get, you know, misconstrued with what an opinion is and what criticism is. If you tell me you don't like my shirt, that's not criticism, because I really don't care. Now, if you tell me, hey, you know, here at the workplace, to make it a little bit more professional, and we can talk about work first, because, you know, with us being managers, I know that's the thing we're going to nail, you know, on the head with. But let's say I have on a shirt that is a little inappropriate, then that's criticism, because you're trying to make sure that I am, you know, presented the best way that I can be for this job. But telling me you don't like the color of my shirt, I'm sorry, I don't care. But so, Matthew, I want to get just tell me if I am, you know, wrong in this aspect. So if you, let's give two examples. The first example is you have someone that comes to you and tells you about another person in the workplace and how they, you know, how they view them in the workplace. So it's criticism. Do you feel like criticism should be something that you give advice to as well? Do you think advice is also like related to criticism? Or do you feel like advice kind of goes into opinion?
I feel like, so here's my thought, right? I think when we talk about advice, I think advice is more so like direction or suggestion to a change of pattern or change of process or a change of a person. I think criticism is an assessment based upon performance, based upon metrics, based upon personality. So to give advice after giving feedback. So let's call criticism feedback, right? If I give you feedback, I am giving you it based on your performance or your personality or something where I'm helping to develop you. So to give advice is a part of the feedback, because when you're giving criticism or feedback to someone, I think in a sense, if you are a leader of any kind, you're redirecting a person to the right path or the policy path or the more professional path. So to help me is to hear me, but you can't help me if you can't hear me, because not only do you not know me, help me with this. It's hard sometimes, I think, to effectively criticize someone for performance who you haven't worked with or adjacent to. Because to work with me, to work with me once and say that's enough to identify trends in my behavior patterns or trends in my performance is not a fair assessment of what I could do. Because we're all human, which means we can have a bad day. So if I'm judged on my performance by a bad day instead of a bad season, then that's not a fair assessment of where I'm going. So I think more, we would add more value to people's professional life if we actually spent time knowing them and not the product they produce.
Okay.
So like you're a leader, right? You're a people leader. You lead people.
Yeah.
People got a lot of personalities.
They do, but you know what I had to realize? So it took me, I've been with the company that I went with Sunglass Hut for 6 years. I haven't always been in management for the full 6 years, but in my management development, I had to learn on my own, you know, I talk about self-reflection all the time. Y'all know this, but I had to learn that I had to also receive criticism from my team. Because we're never going to, you know, ignore the fact that people work for people. So with that being said, when we would have our meetings, we have them every now and then. I used to have them once a month, but I would ask them, and I still ask them to this day, meeting or no meeting, what is it that you feel like I can work on? And what do you feel like you like that I do the most? Or like, what do you learn from the most that I do? And I ask that question because I can sit up here and give them criticism all day long. And Lord knows a lot of them, you know, we're dealing with people who are part timers. So they don't really too much, you know, they don't really care about the job fully like we do. Like we see it as a career. So with that being said, I have to ask that question for me because I'm trying to build here. You're here for a temporary job because you may be in school. You may be, you know, trying to reach your goals into your career, but I'm kind of trying to start mine. So I would definitely say with personalities too. So that's about me. Like I definitely receive criticism on the fact that I get irritated quickly, which I do, because we all know it's hard to work with people who just don't care because they don't put any effort into it. Or they may, honestly, I had to learn that they may not just put in as much effort as we do. And we see that as them not putting in effort. I had to look at it from different perspectives. But so, okay. So from your perspective, and then we'll go into like our team, but from your perspective,
I mean, my team listened to this podcast, so I'm gonna have to be.
So what kind of criticism has your team given to you? Because listen, we don't need them over here trying to slice your tires up. Okay.
Okay. So I have a friend at work, right? And she's actually going to be on our next episode as a guest that we've talked about. She gave me some feedback maybe a couple weeks ago, and I've been kind of pondering on it, and I've been trying to make the necessary steps. We even went to a leadership training the other day that at first I realized that a leadership training, I wasn't required to be there, but I'm thankful that I did. So we were talking and one day in the office, and she gave me some feedback about me. Someone came in the office, they had a conversation with me, then they walked out. And her words were to me, "Well, you damn near should have just told him you don't care." You know, I said, "What?" She's like, you all but everything told him you didn't care. And at first, I mean, I wasn't offended, because we aren't offended when constructive criticism comes from a place of concern from a person who has made the effort to learn you. That's a whole, we got to get into that real quick. Someone, see, it's easier to, it should be. It should be easier to receive criticism from someone who is making the effort to get to know you versus someone who has not even tried to know you, right? So, or someone who's been attempting to engage with you. And I thought about, so of course I asked her to explain, and I'm sure she had no problem doing that. Thank you, Angel. But she went on to say, she went on to say that, like, my mannerisms, my tone, my persona, you know, body language makes up about 90% of communication. Mm-hmm. Even though I didn't say to the person I didn't care, the disposition of my body was expressing my lack of concern for what they were saying. And when people see, you only got one time to show me that you don't give up about me, because I'm not going to keep, you know, I'm for real though. And so I thought about what she said, and I've been thinking about it, and I honestly have been making an effort to be better. And the reason why I bring that to the forefront of this conversation is because I wasn't offended and I've been working on it. Mm-hmm. We cannot grow if we're offended by everything somebody has to say about the product we put out. The product is not often the stuff, not the glasses they sell at Sunglass Hut, not the product that Amazon pushes out. No, baby, no boo. You are the product that continues to represent yourself. You are a brand. And if your brand is not presented in a way, all that stuff you doing, Playboy, they ain't cute because your spirit ugly.
Mm-hmm. You better listen. You better come. Tell them again.
See, you nasty. Right? And so she often, like Angel often says, like, you got to work on your soft skills. You know what I'm saying? You can be a good leader in a sense of delivery and metrics, but you can be a horrible manager.
Yeah.
Right? Like, and so I think the first step is taking offense out of feedback that has been positioned to help you. Constructive criticism is the process of offering valid and well-reasoned opinions about the work of others, usually involving both the positive and the negative comments. The goal of constructive criticism should always be to improve the productivity and the performance of a person being criticized.
You know what's crazy?
That's the goal, right? Go ahead.
You know what's crazy? I can definitely see you right now. Someone telling you something.
You ain't got to do that. You ain't got to do that. You ain't got to do that, though.
Someone telling you something and you just looking at them like.
You don't have to do that, though.
I want you to know. Okay, wait. You ever seen that post on Instagram where they're like, have you ever just wanted to tell somebody in mid-conversation, I don't really care?
Bro, that's Matthew Grady. I actually sent her that post when I saw it on Instagram the other day.
That's why she said what she said.
No, but seriously, no, you know, I've really been working on it, though.
So working on it is good, and that's great, but you have to actually put in the actions as well. I had to learn, because if I'm being honest, I genuinely care about my team.
Yeah.
And I had to get to that place, because I had to get to know them, and I had to make sure that the manager that I was before was always just work. Like, they would try to tell me, like, hey, you know, this is going on. Like, let's say they're like, oh, you know, me and my boyfriend broke up. Okay, but did you do your growth plan? Like, I have that kind of, like, manager. And you had to get, sometimes you can't get too personal with your team, but you have to get to know them.
Then can we shift just real quick?
What's that?
Real quick. I feel a shift in my spirit.
What do you
Because our audience continues to grow, right? Mm-hmm. Can we just, I don't know how long, but can we just spend a few minutes, Nalisha, talking about the difficulties of being in leadership and being young?
Yes, we can. Yes.
I know we plan for one thing, but the Holy Ghost done changed the service.
People, listen, they don't understand.
Can we talk about just the difficulty? I think there is weight to leading people. It's an honor to lead people, right? It's an honor to be, I've been a manager since I've been 21 years old. I'm 27 now.
Yeah.
The 21-year-old manager, Matthew, to the 27-year-old manager, Matthew, I made so many mistakes between that time and this time. What you just said just blessed me. And I want you to unpack it real quick. We done changed the service, y'all. But what you just said, I had to learn early on. You talked about being too personal. So can I ask you a question? I'm going to interview you for a second.
Okay.
When is too close too close?
I feel like too close is too close whenever they get too comfortable. If you feel like you can tell me, now we at the workplace and we're going to keep it real, we're going to keep it raw, we're going to keep it uncut. If you can sit up here and tell me, we get to the point, just for instance, about your sex life or, you know, this, like you're telling me about how you went and you was smoking weed and you was, mind you, you was on this same clock yesterday from 12 to 6 and you told me you was smoking weed at 1 o'clock. Huh? It just becomes too personal sometimes. I don't, Lord forbid, I never had that happen. But, you know, like once you can tell me stuff to a certain extent, because there is a such thing as, you know, friendships that are unintentional that build, you know, from the workplace. But you can know the difference. You have to be able to separate the two. So I've had an experience where somebody added, okay, so I had an associate who added me on Instagram. And this was like when I was working at the outlet. They added me on Instagram. They had done called out of work. But you on your story, shaking your behind, twerking. I'm sorry.
I thought but that's what makes it even like, so that's what makes receiving feedback even more difficult. Like so many times we blame the associate, the employee, the person for their response to our correction. But the truth is we're not even in a place to give constructive correction because y'all be smoking together. And it's hard. And I learned that early on, like I learned it the hard way, because some of us can't give the criticism because we can't receive it. And the reason we can't receive it because you too close, Playboy. And so you're trying to give that leadership or that direction to your team and you can't. I think because it just doesn't exist. Like we have gotten, now get me wrong. There has to be some proximity to the person's personality for them to even receive what you're saying in love. Does that make sense?
That's true. Yes.
Like, so you have to get to know, like, I'm like with my team, right? I got all their birthdays saved in my phone. I try to remember if we have a one-on-one, I remember everything that we talked about from the last time. Somebody on my team, one weekend, he had to go to, like, his daughter's birthday was happening. They went to Michigan. I remember that he went to Michigan for his vacation. Like, it's the minor moments of intentionality that goes the distance. But say, for instance, like he told me, like, so when I met with him again, I'm like, hey, how was your daughter's birthday party? It's like, you remember my daughter's birthday party? I'm like, yeah, how was it? Right? Like, but I'm not about to sit with there I'm not about to sit there 20 more minutes talking about, you know, making money, getting hoes, getting co's. Like, I'm not about to sit there 20 more minutes and unpack that. Like, so you have to have proximity, I think, to be able to give it correct. But at some point, we got to cut it off, man. Because people don't receive it.
I would say the only time that I get really like personal is if I can tell a difference in their work ethic. Because it's you were stellar seller over here, you know, 120% to goal. And now this week we're 60% to goal. And I can tell a change in your attitude. I can change you showing up late to work. And I get it. They're still held accountable for those things, but it has to be something that's going on. Because at some point, like when my team, we're genuinely a family. We do team buildings together. It's like almost like Sunday dinner because we make sure we go on a Sunday. Not every Sunday, but maybe like one Sunday out of each month. Like last time we went to a restaurant that none of us has never been to. And the way it worked was we went bowling. And whoever won, it was between the girls and the guys, whoever won would pay for dinner. So, and we would split it. So that's how we went about going to dinner. It's like, you have to make sure it's about work, but at the same time, we have fun. We don't talk about work, but that's our team building as a team, not individually.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I agree. Like, so that's the difference, right? We have to know how to set the setting up for success. I'm talking tonight. Well, to y'all that listen, it's daytime. So don't tell nobody I said night, you know, so like, We have to set the scene for success, right? Like we have to not put ourselves in vulnerable positions where people are able to misperceive the message we're trying to send.
I agree.
Like we have to make sure that we're in environments that are conducive to constructive criticism. and not environments that scream, "You my bestie." The problem is we go to work looking for besties. Now, mm-hmm. If you get lucky, every now and then you leave the job with a friend.
That's true.
But you got a problem when everybody your friend. See, that's another conversation. But, okay, so let's go here. What is the best? I'm about to ask you a difficult question because I've been thinking about it. Mm-hmm. What's the best piece of criticism you received that you didn't know was good when you got it? If you need time to think, I'll go first.
Yeah, go first because I'm about to think.
So it was similar to the feedback that I received recently from a coworker, as I said, Angel, about my behavior or just my approach or my blah, 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 blah. So I don't think – so I made some progress. So now I show it on my face. But then I used to just say it. So I went from – "You're wasting my time. This is stupid." To,
You went to the arrested bitch face?
No. So I went from like, yeah, this is dumb. You know, and I remember this was a while back, like not that far back, but I was working at Old Navy. I was a district loss prevention supervisor, whatever. And my manager told me we were having some meeting with some other folks and it was dumb to me. I said, "This is just dumb."
Just the way you say it. I can see your face when they tell you something that you do not care about.
This is dumb, right? In that moment, like he didn't like correct me or anything like that. But afterwards he said, my manager lived in Miami. Right. He said, "Okay, Matthew, like I'm going to come up to Savannah and spend some time with you." I'm like, "For what?" Like, "Okay, sure." Right. Came to Savannah, spent a weekend. Like he spent a week, two days he spent there. First day, we just like walked around one of my stores and we walked around. We spent time talking XYZ. It was fine. Second day, he's like, "You want to go to lunch?" I'm like, "Sure, let's go to lunch." Went to lunch the second day, sat on the table. We're talking about just like life and relationships and just the whole nine yards of just. And I'm telling you guys this because this is the buildup now I even do with my team. Like this is the buildup currently at this moment. It's the hack. The hack is you start with a success and then you dig in at so let me
go. That's why you said let's go to lunch.
The hack is let me put you on the plug. The hack is you start with, "So let's talk about all the great things you're doing." And then let's we laughing, it is way too serious. And so we're talking and he was like, I want to replay back, you know, the meeting at XYZ. I was like, you know, and I didn't think I did anything wrong, to be honest with you, because all my life I've been just that forward. You ever heard somebody say they're nice, but they're a little too forward? I learned that when I moved to Illinois, by the way. Like,
I definitely heard somebody say that before.
They're a little too forward. You know what that mean? That mean you talk too much.
Yeah.
You talk out of turn too much. Mm-hmm. And so he was saying, he said that to me. He's like, you're doing a great job, XYZ, and you're going to go on and do great things, but you have to learn how to filter your opinions. The problem with what he said wasn't that he said it. The problem was I became a leader too early. I started off in church at a very young age in leadership. I was in a leadership position in church at 15 years old. I wasn't even past a math class.
Ooh.
But I was telling grown people about a man who could save their soul who hadn't helped me with my math. When you give people stuff too early, but you don't give them the tools in their toolbox to be able to fix the problems that you can foresee, when the tenant calls to fix the sink, they never learn how to use a wrench.
Mm.
In my case, I should have fixed my mouth at 15. But here I am at 22 saying everything that comes to my mind like I'm 6 years old.
Mm-hmm.
At the moment, I was offended because I'm like, I've been doing this my whole life. Just because you've been doing it long don't mean it's been right long. That day, I walked away thinking, he doesn't want me to win. He doesn't have my best interest in mind, and he's not for me. That was immaturity. At 27 years old, you will win more with sugar than you will ever do with salt. As a professional, you have to be able to filter your personal emotions so it doesn't affect your professional success. Some of our success has been impeded and blocked because of our mouth. Therefore, we have a heart and a desire to move forward, but because we're so forward, we have not learned to leverage what we've learned as a lesson to help us lead and level up forward. Mm-hmm. Yep, I know you heard all that alliteration because I gave it all to you. So I would say that's my experience. I gave you a lot of time to think. Now, Alicia, you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right, let's hear it.
So I would definitely say, so mine is kind of similar to yours, but mine wasn't criticism in the form of words. Mine was criticism in the form of action. So when I was working at the outlet, and I say the outlet because this is when I feel like I wasn't the greatest manager, just being quite honest. But in that time, you know, I kept finding myself overworking myself, working 6 days a week, and realizing that I'm nothing without a team. I can hold my own. I can make these numbers by myself, but I'm tired all the time. I'm stressed. I'm working every day. And the reason why I say it was shown by action is because if you can't keep a staff of people, then you need to do some self-reflection on yourself and figure out why that you can't keep a staff of people. And when I started to realize that, like, I even had a girl just quit on me. When I say just quit on me, she showed up to work, left her key, and dipped. And from that moment forward, I took my approach. I still was learning day by day, and I'm still learning till this day, you know, on how to be a better manager. I'm sorry. But I kept, now I have 1, 2, 3, probably like 5 or 6 associates who have been working with me for a year after that. So for me, that accomplishment for more than, it started off with one. I have one girl that started off with me. She's still at the outlet. I think she's been working there now for 2, almost 3 years. And she may not be still, you know, under my leadership, but she still works there. And she has taken what I have taught her and given her and uses that still to this day. And for me to go from having no one to having people stay with me for a year, multiple people at that, that shows improvement, and that showed a lot. And that girl walking out on me, I was definitely ready to cut up on her. Don't get it twisted. But it showed me a lot in what I needed to learn in management and leadership. So
I don't think when you stop learning, you stop growing.
Yep.
If you are listening right now and you're saying, you know what, I don't want to hear that. Can't nobody tell me nothing. I know everything. You have stopped growing. And when you stop growing, you stop going. We have to learn, right? Like, so how do I receive criticism? Like, I know that someone's got the right intentions, but I can't get out of my feelings. How do I receive criticism? We have to learn how to eat the meat and spit out the bones. Because if you don't, you're going to be hungry. Ooh. And you're going to be someone who is full of dreams, full of purpose, full of passion, full of grit, but also someone who is empty-handed. If you can't receive someone trying to help you and not see it as hindrance, you will finish this year with less in your hand than what you started with. Now, I want to flip the script really quickly. Mm-hmm. Some of us listening to this podcast have been robbed by wrong criticism.
Yes, absolutely.
Therefore, it has affected your self-confidence, where you now feel like you are less capable than being able to do all the things that's in your heart to do. If you are going to step in the role of any kind of leadership and you are in the position where you provide feedback to someone, don't ever knock down a house you can't build back up. If it ain't, my mama said, if you ain't got something nice to say, don't say it at all.
Don't say it at all.
Criticism ain't always nice. However, if you lead right, your leadership will be an example that will display some type of ownership where even if I said it wrong, I'm doing it right. And so even if it came off too harsh or whatever, I hope that through my efforts and my investment back into you, it is in some way a sense of motivation. Now, Alicia, if we live in a world where criticism was delivered tactfully with due consideration to a person, it would be a fantastic for everyone. But that's not how the world works. People are going to say things to offend you all the time. But yo, you got to spit out them bones, bro. And you got to take the meat. Go ahead, Alicia.
Can I say this also? I will say you have to also know who you are, because you can also lose yourself with so much criticism, because I had to realize that too. So when I needed someone to step in my role, I needed someone to step in my role. And while I was on vacation, actually, I needed someone to step in my role so they can see what I deal with on a day to day. I can have a conversation with an associate about something policy and procedure wise, and I have to have that same conversation with them, maybe not the next day, but the day after that, maybe 3 days later after that. And they started to realize that how frustrated I was getting and how irritated I was getting. Now, don't get me wrong, I get irritated very quickly. And it's not what I say, but how I say it. I had to learn that. But I also know that y'all can't keep putting me through hell and high water and think that I'm just about to be the calmest manager on the block. Like, that's just not.
Oh, you got to know when to flip the tables over, bro.
Yeah.
Like you got to know. Like, you got to know, like, when to. You got to know when to flip them tables, bro.
Listen, that's when you might get Nalisha, or you might get Nalisha Green. Nalisha Green is going to give it to you. Like,
last name.
Yeah, the last name is needed because.
I heard that. Green. I heard it.
Yeah. You heard the Nalisha and Nalisha Green. Like, Because, you know, you just got to. And I had to learn that. I had to learn to be myself even when I get criticism, not only from my team, but from my regional manager as well. Because there was a time, I take criticism for him all the time, but there was a time where I needed to specifically give him criticism. And I couldn't take no for an answer. And by that, I mean, no matter how much it seemed like, hey, I'm your boss, you do what I say, I needed him to hear me.
That's so, Nalisha, that's so freaking good. Because I was recently having a conversation with someone. And I said to them, we have to be able to provide criticism to our leadership, because sometimes I got to teach you how to manage me. We ain't ready to talk about that, though. We ain't ready to talk about that. That's,
and they not ready.
See, that's something. See, because like, if you think you a perfect manager, there's no perfect people in the world. If they are, can you show me where they are so I can get the hell away from them?
I ain't lying.
Because I don't know nobody perfect, right? So there's no such thing as a perfect leader. We try to all get it right, I think. But when we make an investment in ourselves, I think the offspring of that investment in ourselves causes a reflection of that investment to be displayed through parenting, through leadership, through whatever, right? That's just kind of the reaction of it. But I was saying to someone, and to your point, I was saying to someone, they was explaining what was going on with their manager. Have you ever gave feedback to your manager? One, then two, like, tell them how to lead you.
Yeah.
Like, your management style or your leadership style isn't one size fit all. Everybody needs something different because we need something different. Think about relationships before the one you had this time, before the one you had this time. Sometimes you got to tell old boy, don't grab my hand like that. Okay, so, all right, if you watch Real Housewives, you can really help me. Now, do you watch Real Housewives?
Which one?
Atlanta.
Not recently, but I've watched it before, yes.
Bet, let me run it back real quick. I'm about to give you like a 30-second recap. So y'all know Kenya Moore. Kenya Moore hair care. Y'all know Kenya Moore, right? Kenya Moore, there's a new girl on this season named Courtney. Courtney is friends with, I done forgot. I know that Courtney is Drew's husband, Ralph's brother. I don't know who Frenchie is or how she got on the show. I don't really remember. But Courtney was sitting next to Kenya at the table recently at like a brunch at Sheree House. And Courtney was laughing, right? Here we go. Courtney was laughing. And you ever had them kind of people that laugh and they hit you? All right. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yes. No,
if you're watching this podcast, then you saw what I just did, right? Well, yeah, tap you on the arm. You know, then, so Courtney was laughing and doing that to Kenya. Kenya turned around. She said, can you stop touching me like that? We're not on that level yet.
No, for real, because I don't know you. Why are you touching me?
I said all that to say. I didn't say your touching is a problem overall. I just said I don't prefer to be touched like that.
Especially if I don't know you.
So go back to your end when you talk about management. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying you are a horrible manager, but I'm saying I prefer to be led like this. I prefer you talk to me like this. It is nothing wrong with demanding your dignity. All right, go ahead, Nalisha, because I was going to go off. Go ahead.
Can I say this? Now, there was a time where I was very frustrated and I was letting my anger out, but I had to let that person know I'm not angry with you. That's one thing that I do when I'm talking to an associate. I'm not angry with you. I'm talking out of anger right now, but I'm not necessarily angry with you. Like, I had to say that, I don't know how many times, I say that a lot now, because let's say the next person is like, hey, I won't be able to work this day that you scheduled me. And then I have another person saying, hey, you scheduled me for this day, but I can't actually work that day. That second person gonna get the first person anger, because both of y'all pissing me off. But I'm going to let you know I'm not necessarily angry with you. I'm just overwhelmed with this person doing this and this. But don't get me wrong, my team has to, they're accountable for their own shifts. But I then let them know, like, hey, you know, you have to get your shift covered. You're responsible for your shift. But in that moment, I'm just angry and I have to let it out, because I'm not a person that keeps angry, you know, anger balled up inside of me. That's not healthy for you. You have to let it out.
Yeah, and I think we've got to, like,
be that person.
I think we have to learn how to also, like, check ourselves and leave. We have to leave the problem with who caused it, right? Because sometimes, all the time, especially, like, again, like, I don't know, maybe you can speak to it, but I have learned more from the training I've received after being a manager than the training I got before I became one.
Definitely. Like, I honestly didn't even really get much training as a manager. I knew how to do a lot of stuff in Sunglass Hut because I was nosy. I wanted to be there when the regional manager came to visit. I wanted to be there, you know, whenever, like, someone was making the schedule or something. I handled a lot of that stuff on my own. My best friend, who was a manager, helped me make my schedule. Well, you know, Bianca, she helped me make my schedule. She helped me do a lot of managerial things that I didn't even know how to do. And you know what? They literally just picked me and threw me to the wolves and said, girl, you know how to run sunglasses. You know how to sell sunglasses. You know how to do everything else. I didn't have any managerial training.
That's like super. And it's crazy because we just have to think about the people that helped lead us. And now some of us have positions that they currently still have. And it's pretty wonderful. So I want to flip it just a little bit more. I want to dig into two things before we even end this episode that we just have to talk about. We have to talk about bad criticism, and we have to talk about criticism from family and friends. We have to talk about those two things. First, let's talk about bad criticism. And I think let's go end it with criticism from family and friends and how to receive it. I want to say this about bad criticism that I hope that someone can relate to. Bad criticism can crush confidence that is hard to restore. Right? What is examples of bad criticism? Criticism that doesn't have actionable actions to change behavior. Another example of bad criticism is criticism that's not merit or tied to the possibility of having success. What is an example of that? Hey, I noticed XYZ, maybe you should try doing XYZ, right? Like we talked about early advice connected to criticism. Also, criticism that comes from people who got problems with themselves. Oftentimes, some people reflect their own insecurities on what they're noticing someone else being able to do better than them. Jealous people like to talk about what somebody else isn't doing that they can't do. This is unsafe and it's unhealthy. If you are not in a position or you have not positioned yourself, like I'm an opinionated person, bottom line. Nobody asks for it. Nobody.
Definitely. Nelly,
you got something to say?
Nobody asks for it.
Nobody asks for it. Nobody like just says what you think. I gotta learn to shut up. Before you say that,
y'all, full disclosure. Me and Keenan had a conversation with Matthew.
Excuse me?
About his opinions. We had this conversation 2 days ago about his opinions and how he acts towards people. And we gave him a little bit of criticism. Matthew is a very perfectionist. He's not a perfect person, but he's a perfectionist. And we're not going to go into full detail. Matthew knows what he needs to work on.
He knows what he needs to work on. Sound like one of them kids in school. He knows what he needs to work on. We sent him the worksheet, so he's going to start working. But no, like, seriously, like, Nalisha, like, what would you say, and I want to spend a little second here. I know we got to talk about family and friends. Like, what would you say to encourage someone who is struggling with inadequacy? Like, they already don't think they're enough. And then somebody trying to kill them. Somebody trying to kill their dreams, man. Somebody trying to shoot them down. It's nothing like when you're working hard and somebody come behind you checking your work and trying to keep finding flaws in what you're doing. Like, what would be your advice to somebody who's trying? They're trying to, you ever, I don't know, maybe somebody listening right now, it seems like every time you do something good, somebody keep telling you it's bad. Like, what would you offer, not just as a leader, but as a, like, say you're their friend, what would you offer as advice right now?
As advice, I would definitely say that you have to do what's best for you. And if you feel like, definitely take their criticism into consideration, but you don't have to make a big change if you feel like what you're doing. Let's say someone gives you criticism and in no way, shape, or form it benefits you. It doesn't benefit your life. It doesn't benefit your job. And then you have, I'm trying to think of, give me an example of like bad criticism.
So say for instance, someone is doing their best and every time they're doing something or performing their work, their manager says it's not good enough or they suck or they wish they were so-and-so. They wish that they were like the other person on the team and they wish they were better at this or their work is good, but their personality sucks. Their work is good, but their facial expressions are horrible. Like nobody's got nothing good to say. Like it just sucks.
Let's say me and you are doing criticism. Give me bad criticism.
Nalisha, you're a manager. You're supposed to be a leader. Why is your hair blue?
Okay. Ooh, perfection. By the way, y'all, if y'all are looking at this podcast, y'all know my hair is pink.
Now I know we keep saying looking at. Just go to YouTube. All right. Because I know some of you guys are listening on whatever, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, but when we keep saying looking at, we're talking about YouTube. Just go to YouTube, type in Glasses Podcast. You can see Nalisha just turn her head and show a little zigzag on the side of her head. So go ahead, keep going, Nalisha.
Okay, so if I have been progressing at work, nobody has said anything to me about my blue hair color that Matthew just pointed out, and I don't dress like I just woke out of the bed, or, you know, I dress very professional. I make sure that my hair color doesn't reflect on the way that I not only dress, but make sure that it's clean. It's always neat. And I make sure that I do my job. And my job doesn't require me to not have blue hair. Then your criticism, it's bad criticism because you're trying to then put me down. You trying to bring my confidence level down. That had nothing to do with work.
That what you just said. Stay right there. Stay right there. Stop right there. I gave you bad criticism and you stood up for you.
Mm-hmm.
As a woman in your space, talk to us about standing up for you.
Oh, you definitely have to stand up for yourself as a woman every day. As a woman, as women, it's actually hard for us to, you know, go to the top. And I speak for not only women, but of course, you know, Black women, because we love to express ourselves in many different ways when it comes to hair, when it comes to nails, when it comes to the way we dress. You know, everybody is always going to have something to say. But like Matthew said, you have to show up for you every day. You have to make sure that you're your number one priority and you're looking in the, sometimes I look in the mirror before I go to work, like, yeah. You know, sometimes I'm like, yeah, girl, you look good. And then sometimes I'm like, yeah, you did that. You put that shit on. Let's talk about it. Like, you know, you just gotta.
You got to, man. You got to. You got to. Like, you gotta. You enough. Like, you gotta. We hope that the people in our lives that has been sent to our lives are here to help us and make us better. But you're enough. Like, you're enough. You enough for them. You enough for that. You enough for this. Most importantly, you enough for you. And we have to remind ourselves that frequently, because sometimes our tanks on E and we don't often feel enough. Some days you go home not feeling as adequate as you would like to be. But you're enough.
Let me step in.
Go ahead.
Let me step in. I will say I had
Keenan's to learn. Not here today, so no one's here to tell us that we're at 50 minutes. Go ahead. All right, guys, wrap it up.
All right, listen, I had to learn the hard way that I also observed the people around me. I watched them. And I did that because I realized that I'm one in a few people in this company, or I would just say in my region, because I'm not going to say the company. And I love the people in my region. I love my region. But I realized that I was overworking myself as a manager as well. I'm not going to, you know, do the bare minimum. But at the same time, I was doing way more than a lot of these managers. And I realized that I have to do this for me, not for anybody else, not for any kind of recognition. I'm here to do a job. And that's the job that I'm going to do. I had to realize that so early on. I mean, listen, I'm not going to get into detail because I ain't trying to get nobody in trouble. But just know, I have definitely put myself first a whole lot more, and it was well needed. And I feel a lot more relaxed than I ever have working here.
Yeah. Like you gotta, I think like growth requires consistent improvement. Any fool can criticize, condemn, or complain, but it takes character and self-control to make the necessary renovations that is required for your future. Everybody's got an opinion. Some of our opinions, like a piece of paper, throw that in the trash. You know, like, I'm keeping it real. Like, if we want to just talk about opinions, who doesn't have one? That's free. Like, if we want to talk about this person's opinion, that everybody got an opinion, bro. But is what you're saying helpful to the people you're saying it to? And I know that goes into family and friends, but the truth is we're going to have to probably take that to another episode. But
you know what? You know what I was thinking? I think we should do a part two with Keenan.
Yeah, I'm sure he's got a little bit he won't say too.
Yeah.
No, I do like I just think that everybody's got an opinion, right? Like, but we have to make sure as people that we're dropping seeds in people's lives that we hope to have be dropped in our lives. Because if a seed is watered right, a tree just might grow, which means a person might grow. Their confidence may grow. Their self-esteem may grow. Their self-reliance may grow. If I get an amazing opportunity to motivational speak every now and then. I consider me as a motivational speaker. If I left a room and someone walks away saying, man, that guy's impressive, I haven't accomplished my job. My job is to not impress them alone with me. My job is to make them feel better about them. I hope that just a slither of that slips in the workplace so people can see that from Matthew at work, see that from Matthew in life. I hope that everybody that knows me has been inspired by something I've said to them, because somebody texted me when we were recording, before we started. They said, "Why are you so invested?" I started to name the list of people that invested in me, trying to explain to them why I'm invested in them. Because somebody took a shot on me. Douglas Walker took a shot on me. Steve Etienne took a shot on me. Robert Verone took a shot on me. Mickey Delprodang took a shot on me. So those are people who I can think of immediately. I mean, for every church that's ever invited me, for every conference that ever let me speak, that was a one-time thing that I was honored to do. People who saw me through the long haul. For the man that walked into the Ross and said, "Let me get you a real loss prevention job at Macy's." I appreciate that, bro.
Come on, Ross.
He held me down on that. You know what I'm saying? For me going to Old Navy and starting off just as a regular loss prevention associate, and I got that district spot. Let me take a spot on you, bro.
You know what's crazy?
Go ahead.
If you would have never had that job and I would have never worked that sunglass out, we would have never been friends.
But think about it, because somebody took a shot on you, right? Like every step along the way, somebody betted on you. So now it's time for you to bet on you, bro.
That's true.
You got to bet on you. You're the biggest investment you will ever make is into yourself. So you ain't even that crazy. You ain't even that mad when real constructive criticism come through, because you already putting in that work to be a better you anyway. So if somebody else trying to help me be a better me, well, hell, let's go ahead and speed up the process, playboy. Let me go ahead and add what you said, what I already know. Let me mix that up to make me better.
Listen, and you're your worst critic, honestly.
We always got something to say about ourselves.
Please, you stand in your own way.
That's good. Like, some of us are standing in our own way right now. Like, you know, some of us are, like, in our own way right now. Some of you guys are literally standing in the way of your promise. You got that. You praying about it. You talking to your friends about it. But you're not putting in that work. I saw this funny TikTok video. This ain't even relevant. But sometimes, you know, I'm a speaker, so I have to go around the corner sometime to go across the street. So y'all got to excuse me with my irrelevant stories that come to connect at some point. I'm going to make it real quick. This guy, he's a comedian. He was on America's Got Talent. He said he was on crutches going to America's Got Talent from Chicago. He was walking down the aisle. And he's a black man. This is a whole other conversation, but this ain't the point of the conversation. Let me get to it. He's a black man, and he was saying he don't understand. You know, he was talking about how difficult it is to be black in America. He's on crutches. You know how you got to walk through first class to go to the coach, right? On the plane, right? And as soon as he was standing next to this white lady, she clutched her purse. He said he was offended for two reasons. One, where I'm going to go? What I'm going to do? What I'm going to do? Grab your purse and go sit in 32C? And number two, he said, "I'm offended because you ain't been in the gym like that. I can still take it." You know what I'm saying? So my point that I'm making, my point that I'm making is, some of y'all ain't been working like that. So, you know what I'm saying? So
y'all can't even sit at the table.
Some of y'all ain't even put in that work like that. So my thing is, ain't no way you showing up talking about, "I'm ready to kill it." But you ain't putting in that work. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to put in that work. I know we almost at an hour, though. But seriously, thank you guys for listening. We done talked about a lot. But before we go, I want to just leave. I think closing words on my part is, like, if you're on the precipice of something great, something that your heart desires, I not only hope you get everything that's in your heart, but I hope that it goes from your heart to your head and it ends up in your hands. And I hope that whatever it is that you desire, when it hits your hands, you won't allow short-term success because you can't accept criticism. I hope that when it hits your hands, you take the necessary route to maintain what you begged for. But most importantly, I hope that you take the necessary steps to maintain what you deserve.
Yeah.
Some of us, not only, we don't get the life we deserve, Nalisha, we get the life we decide. Mm-hmm. Part of deciding success is being open to not always being right, but it's also being open to being redirected. I hope you win, but I also hope you fail at a fence, and that you would silence that voice in your head that tells you, one, you're not good enough, and two, everybody doesn't mean you well. I hope you win, because your success is the people in your life who love you. It's their shared success. When one of us win, we all win. Mm-hmm. So I hope you win, but I hope you win while also receiving the things about you that could be adjusted in your life. So, Nalisha, what do you have to say?
Well,
what do you have to say?
Thank you. I'm not playing.
No, sis, this was dope though. Thank you guys for jumping on. Like, if you know somebody who is like going into leadership, young, about to go into leadership, or even somebody who's even struggling with receiving criticism, I think this is a good episode for them. I don't know what you think.
I definitely agree. And like I said before, y'all, just make sure you show up for yourself day in and day out and always put yourself first and give yourself what you deserve and what you need. Because guess what? When that job gonna be there. When something happens to you, Lord forbid something happens, they're going to find somebody to replace you.
Yeah. It's going to be posted tomorrow.
And please, within 5 hours, posted 2 hours ago.
The page going to say, we grieve the loss of so-and-so. Oh, we have a new hiring post. We have a new job opening.
How are they doing the conference call? We want to welcome the new store manager.
We want to welcome the new store manager, Allie. Allie Walker.
Honestly, y'all, this was a dope and great episode, and we want you guys to tune in and continue to tune in. And we will definitely have a part two to this with Keenan for sure. And y'all know how Keenan goes. He'll have something to say.
Yeah, no, I think it's going to be good. It's going to be lit, though. For real, thank you guys so much for jumping on, man. We appreciate it. Again, pray for Keenan and his family. Let's continue to do that as well as they go through a difficult season. However, thank you guys for listening to another episode of the Glass House Podcast. If this episode in any way has helped you, inspired you, motivated you, lift you up, made you think, or even caused you to not like us anymore, just before you decide to not like us and unsubscribe, can you send it to somebody else, please, so that they can subscribe, so that they can replace you? All right. Thank you so much for another episode in the books. Now, Alicia, I appreciate you. I know it is late at night for you right now, but what is it, like 10:46 p.m. right now?
Listen, y'all better be glad I love y'all.
10:46 p.m. And you got to work tomorrow, don't you?
9 a.m. sharp.
I'm going golfing tomorrow. And golfing. I can't even golf. I was invited. It's like this charity thing. I was invited. And is it appropriate that I wear like little short shorts? Is that what I'm supposed to do or no?
No.
I thought you're supposed to wear short shorts, shoes with no socks on. And a shirt tucked in and a hat. Is that not the appropriate
dress? No, you wear a hat.
You're the stylist here. I'm just asking. A button-up shirt. Okay.
You can honestly wear chinos.
It's getting hot. You know, let me see the weather. You know what it's supposed to be like.
You can wear shorts if you like, but just make sure they're like, what kind of shorts? Are not no hoochie daddy shorts.
I like those. Tomorrow is supposed to get up to 93.
Going golfing. Ooh.
I'm not that good anyway, so what's the point?
That don't mean you gotta wear no hoochie daddy shorts. But you can. You definitely need to wear socks with your shoes. You can.
I thought you were supposed to wear no. I got the no-show socks.
Yeah, you can wear those. You gonna wear some Vans?
No, I got some. You remember Aldo used to be open in Savannah? They got some white-looking shoes. It's got like a little red stripe on the side of it.
I know what you're talking about. They actually look exactly like golfing shoes.
I got them! Like shoes. I got them.
The assistant manager.
I got them. I got them. We need to go. Thank y'all so much for listening. Wait, why are we still recording? Why are we? This is the stuff we talk about after we hang up. All right. Thank you so much for listening to the Glass House podcast. 1 hour and 4 minutes. Wow, Nalisha, I'm not proud of you for this.
Listen, this is all you. We gonna get yelled at.
1 hour and 4 minutes, bro. This is wild. Yeah, this is crazy. All right, bye. Next episode, we're going to have a guest. I'm really excited about it. I talked about her a little bit early on. We're going to talk about some really cool things, kind of centered around betting on yourself and taking risk and in your career, in life, all that good stuff. Stay tuned. We'll talk to you next time, fam. And we have some exciting stuff coming up, too. We just talked about it the other day. So I'm looking forward to it. We're nowhere near ready to talk about it right now. So bye. All right. Thank you so much.
End of the season.
Yeah. All right. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Glass House Podcast. I'm Matthew.
I'm Nalisha. Later, y'all.
Bye.